Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, yo. What's good, baby? Let him ride one more time. Hey, 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 hey. We welcome you in here to the Tuesday, October 8th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Yes, indeed. Happy to be back here with you. Happy to be on my second show of the day. I can't lie.
Know, I mean, that's what he do, man. That's what he do.
Can't lie. Ego is riding pretty tough right now. Man, when I tell you, imagine this. Mm-hmm. Imagine walking around the Golden One Center with Kenny Caraway. Multiply that by 10. And that's what walking around Disneyland with Katie from the Wake Up Call is like. It started at LAX, where the people behind us who were flying to Disneyland recognized her. They knew who I was, not me the person.
Yeah.
They knew my name from the cat. Katie was magnificent in that she introduced me to everybody. She goes, yeah, Gavin's not feeling well. Kevin's out of town. So D-Lo's coming with me. And this girl looks with just eyes, D-Lo. And I'm like, yeah, like the cat. Yep. Like the cat.
The cat.
And then there was a girl at, I think it was California Adventure, who, and this is the reaction Kenny gets, she almost started to cry. She was like, Katie, oh, Katie, like, oh my God, I love you. And gave her a big hug. And she looks at me and she goes, D-Lo. D-Lo and Katie, and like she knew all of the bits. It was like, wow. I was like, man, I am second fiddle. No matter who I'm out with,
don't do that. Don't do that. I don't. Maybe that's the case with Katie. I know
that's the case with Katie.
Don't do that over here. You already know what time it is when we walking around watching the games. They be howling at you. Don't do that.
And then the guy comes over to me and goes, "Hey, D-Lo." I said, "Yeah." Tell KC I said hi.
That's
like,
not,
all right.
Now, that didn't happen.
He was walking around with Goofy. I don't know.
You see how this happens? Don't listen to this guy, man. That didn't happen.
Great time at Disneyland.
Yes. Man, yeah. I mean, you know, he was in the greatest place on earth. And, you know, he was having a good old time and just walking around. Sun was shining. Louis Vuitton bag. Louis Vuitton done. All this other stuff. You know, while we were slumming it around here. We were in the slums of Sacramento after that game on
no,
Sunday.
I don't think it was we. It was you and other 49er fans. I don't know that everybody felt like they were slumming. All I knew, because I told KC this story, as I was mentioning to Kyle and James a minute ago, we got in super early. About 1 o'clock, we got lucky that we got our rooms early. And it was like, hey, let's break. Let's try to get like a little nap and then we'll attack the night or whatever. So I'm putting the games on and the Rams Packers are on and I flew down with probably me, Katie, the two Wake Up Call listeners who were going to Disneyland and everyone else was a Packers fan. So
it was out.
They was out. So I was like, dude, whatever. I just put the game on. I just needed something to fall asleep to. Woke up whenever I woke up. I had kind of flipped the TV off in the middle of my sleep, turned it back on, and noticed there's this thing that said, you know, connect to your device. And I thought, oh, let me try this real quick. Connected my phone to it, mm-hmm. was able to throw the quad box up, got the red zone, got the Raiders, got the 49ers, and whatever other game was on there. And saw every second of the 49ers blowing that lead.
Huh. So I got you to blame.
Probably.
Because it was all good.
That's a shoot, yeah.
Until you figured out the connect to device. Joint.
Probably.
All right.
And I can tell you what happened next. As I had that game on and we were getting ready to go to dinner, I thought, I'm so happy I'm not there tomorrow. Oh. I don't have to deal with this because I had to tell Katie the story of how this man is at the game, which means he didn't catch any of the games that happened today, which means he doesn't want to watch SportsCenter. No. He doesn't want to watch NFL Live. No. He doesn't want to look at his phone. No. He just wants to fester and be pissed.
I don't even want to talk to nobody.
But he can't because I'm not here. And I did a little Disney villain laugh.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
I knew you were at your peak levels of anger yesterday because of that. Or not yesterday, but really Sunday.
Well, you know this. I was pissed off.
And you and Moms was there.
Yeah, me and Moms was in the building.
In the heat.
And it was hot as hell.
Man.
The heat was real on Sunday in Santa Clara. It was real. Hey, they don't get it like that too often. It was real. But, you know, I was able to deal with that. It was okay. It was whatever. My mom had a great time. So, you know, that's all that really mattered. It was cool. But the thing that really got me was because I had to prepare a certain way, I had to listen to everybody yesterday morning. People were pissing me off. I told them yesterday, you don't know what you might get. Everybody was fine. Everybody was fine yesterday. Maybe I scared them off a little bit. I said, I'm telling you right now, I'm on edge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on edge. You can call here. You can tell me whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to set me off.
Mm.
So I'm just letting you know now.
How many people did you block yesterday in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House?
Nobody. Oh, nobody. Because okay. when it's, well, Jesse was here too, but like when I'm on that side, I don't really get a chance to be in the
It's true.
Chat,
it's a little different.
The way I want to. So, you know, I didn't curse out the Bob Jackasses like I normally do.
And is that a handle?
Yeah, the Bob Jackass with the weird Abby. You know what I'm saying? He's usually getting blocked.
Oh, that no, that's a shoot. Yeah. There is a Bob Jackass. Yeah, I got you.
He's usually getting blocked or cursed out, so I didn't get a chance to really see him. But yeah, I was hot yesterday. I was hot. And then just like I thought, we'll talk about it today. You know, the day passes, and you know people get the takes off and everything, and then you get the people who, no disrespect to anybody, but who watch the film, you know, like the Baldies, and they, and there's things out there. It's not just as simple as Kyle sucks, Brock sucks, all this other stuff. There's a lot that goes into these things, man. I mean, that's all I was trying to get across yesterday.
Does Brock suck?
No.
Kyle?
No. Okay. They got to be better. Yeah, I think everybody's got to be better, though. Everybody.
Well, apparently Bob Saleh's got to be better because he's looking for a job.
Jeez.
Jets fired Roberts.
At least they brought him back to America.
Well, probably why it took so long.
At least they let him come back to America. People always joke about that.
Al Davis would never. Be like, look, buddy, you're catching United home.
People always joke about that, but the Jets almost literally did it. Like when they have a London game and the team sucks, they might not bring them back to the country.
Yeah.
The Jets almost literally did that.
Yep.
They had him escorted out by security.
That's crazy.
That's uncalled for.
They brought that man home. What was it, London? Mm-hmm. Let him sleep it off for a day and then fired him.
You think he knew on the plane ride home?
Well, based on what I saw this morning, he didn't.
Sounds like he was blindsided.
Yeah, Woody Johnson, for all of his faults. I think I read he had never fired a coach in the middle of a season. Then he followed up with that jackass line that this is the most talented roster that the New York Jets have ever had.
Come on, man.
But I haven't seen much Get Up too much.
Y'all can keep telling yourself that all you want to.
He may not be wrong, though.
Maybe it is.
They're not good.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe it is the most talented they've had, but it's a bad team. It's not a good football team, and it's a bad quarterback. And I'm going to say it every week until I'm proven wrong. Aaron Rodgers isn't good anymore.
I don't have no retort. I mean, what are they, 2-4?
2-3.
Two and three.
Yeah, they
And their offense sucks. Their offense was good one time. And all these dumbasses were on TV celebrating it. Who'd they beat that week?
The Patriots.
The goddamn Patriots.
It wasn't even that good. It was just kind of whatever.
Patriots are terrible.
Now, here's the thing about it. If you're the Jets, or Woody Johnson, or whatever the case may be, I know you hate them, but you look around, and if you're going to make a move, make a move. Because your division is awful. Awful. And if you're trying to get to the playoff, like I said, we talk about the NFC South every or the AFC South every year, and that's a sorry-ass division. But somebody goes to the playoffs, right? Because you got to. And you look around in that AFC East, there's a bunch of bad teams. Bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think we got a talented roster, and the hiccup is the head coach, you go ahead and do it right now and see if you can do something to get into the playoffs.
Is it, so the answer is the guy that they promoted?
I don't know, but the answer wasn't the head coach. That was clear.
The problem wasn't the head coach.
He was part of the problem. Salah's not that good as a head coach. He's not. And I'm not saying it's all on him.
That's fine. The record indicates you're right.
I'm not saying it's all on him, but he wasn't it. He wasn't it. And then you get the situation where, right or wrong, whether the guy stinks or whether he's past his prime or not, like if he's not on the same page with the quarterback, you're just wasting time.
Well, and that's probably the gist of all of this, right? Mm-hmm. Him and Aaron Rodgers clearly don't get along, probably because Bob has told people in the building what we already know is that he sucks.
He also don't get along because Aaron Rodgers is a jackass.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. We're happy that you're here with us. We're just getting started. What's next for Robert Saleh? We'll talk about that. Obviously, there's ties to the 49ers, which have already been brought up. We saw the Chiefs move to 5-0. We'll talk about that. And we got real life basketball tomorrow at the Golden One Center.
Yeah, man.
James just rushed off to practice. We'll keep you updated on all that. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Oh. Where we're making movement on the biggest live show in history.
Ooh.
It's a ways away, but the Lord is my shepherd. He know what I want.
I like that.
Stay tuned. It's ESPN 1320.
Did you take any pictures? Did you go see Mickey Mouse?
I thought
that was really cool. When I saw Mickey, I thought that was really cool.
We saw Minnie when we were recording the wake up call. Minnie was in this room that was preparing for, like, the whole idea was to prepare for Disney for the holidays. Mm. And so there was this room where you go in there and you film content, and Katie filmed some, you know, all of the new, like, attire that goes on set. They have, like, new food that comes out for the holidays. Mm. And Minnie was there. Mm-hmm. So we took a picture with Minnie, but Katie didn't like the pictures, so requested that they not be posted. So I have pictures of us and Minnie together. Didn't see Mickey though. Just Minnie.
They have, at least they did have, I don't know if it's still like that, but they have.
Well, Collins is right. Mickey Mouse told D-Lo to tell KC hi.
That's Collins, pretty close. Stop it. That's not ever what happens. You guys believe this stuff. This doesn't even really happen. But Mickey, it's a whole ordeal to see Mickey. Like it's almost like a ride, like a line for a ride to go see Mickey, and you just go through all these little steps. All, you know, it takes mm-hmm. like 40 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. But then when you go see Mickey, they're like, the area that you stand gets shorter and shorter and smaller, and then it's like the last three people, and then you're next, and then the door opens, and there's Mickey just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Mickey and a photographer, and they're mm-hmm. like, hey, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty dope. This mm-hmm. is pretty dope. And this is a big deal right here, seeing Mickey Mouse. So I like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. I thought you guys might have went and saw Mickey.
No, we didn't. I guess that'll be on the list for next time. We did have a moment, though, because we got there so early. Mm. We checked our bags at the bellhop, and we're headed out to California Adventure. We walked past this restaurant, and it was the character breakfast. And I found myself, like, I stopped, and I'm looking, and there's all these Disney characters in there. And I'm like, yo, why didn't we do this? This is awesome. Like, yeah, we didn't sign up for this. Like, you have to sign up for it.
Damn it.
But I would have never thought anything of it until I actually saw it. Then it would have been like, I would have been cool to have some toast with, you know, Donald Duck or whatever. It would have been great.
I've never been to California Adventures. Oh, I want to go. We didn't go when I was there last. And then I went to Disneyland when I was 2 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't go back until Reese's third birthday. And then Reese is 11 now. I haven't been back since. So Ryan's going to have to.
I strongly recommend bringing Katie. Katie is a solid tour guide.
That's the plan.
It definitely is the plan. She was like that. She was legit like that episode of Black-ish. Where they go to Disneyland and they got the fast pass and they got the VIP tour guide. Like, Katie was my own VIP tour guide. I imagine Kyle and his wife, Heather, would also be really, really good at that. So going with someone who knows Disney is a blast.
Did you watch the parade?
We didn't. No.
The parade is fire.
I really wanted to until the night started to get long. And our like the show, even though the show was recorded, we were legit up at, like, in the room at 6 a.m. in the recording room at 6 a.m. And we've never worked together before. So there was a lot we could maybe over prepared a little bit because we wanted to make sure we had everything laid out so there were no hiccups, no problems. And so it became like, hey, let's just kind of sit down somewhere and map out what all of this looks like.
Yeah.
And then by that point, it was like, okay, we got a 5 a.m. alarm. And she, again, being a, like, she knows all of the prime spots. So as we're walking that night in Disney, she's like, you see all of this? Uh-huh. You see all of this? 7 o'clock. She's like, these are people preparing for the fireworks. What do you mean preparing? No, they're camping out here for the next 2.5 hours for the fireworks. Like, they're just sitting here? Yeah. She was like, our spot, because we had these media credentials, which is really, really dope. It's
still further away from the D-Lo credential, but it's okay.
Nice. She was like, yeah, it's over there. Like, it's fine, but, like, let's go get this work done, and if you still want to go, like, we'll come back out and, you know, we'll see it. I didn't. So... It was like, all right, we got the work done, and I was a little antsy because I didn't want to mess up their show the next day. I wanted it, you know, to go really well, so didn't get to see the parade and the fireworks and all of that.
I don't know about the fireworks. I don't know about but that parade. We were standing out there for about 1 hour and 15 minutes.
I can't do that.
Just on the curb, just standing there. But it was worth it. The parade was really dope. You'll see it next time when you got the D-Lo pass.
I will go see it again. I will go to Disneyland again. I'm hoping we all go to Disneyland again because that was the whole point in going there in the first place was making sure we linked up with our people at Disney.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Whatever Disneyland magic the Saints offense had to start the season, that appears to be gone.
Saints kind of looking finished as far as division. Not they might make the playoffs, but I don't know if they can win that division.
Of those three teams, they're the one that you look at and you go, oh, they don't look like Atlanta. They don't look like Tampa Bay. They do not look sharp.
Yeah. And they look more so like what I expected them to look like. They were surprising those first 2 weeks of the season. I thought they'd be a solid team, but I don't think I had them in the playoffs. So they still might make the playoffs, but they're looking a little bit more like I thought they would.
They're not. They're certainly not what they were the first 2 weeks of the season. That's what this really boils down to when they scored 90 some odd points. Like, they're not that. And the question now, though, is what are they? Are they the first 2 weeks of the season or the last couple of weeks of the season? Because they're dramatically different. They're two dramatically different football teams. And it feels like, well, if there's an issue with Derek Carr, I don't know that there's much of a question of what version of a team they are.
I think if you shut down Kamara, you shut down that offense. Because Carr's not what he was the first 2 weeks. He needs the running game to get going, I think, for him to be successful.
I think they're closer to the last few weeks. What are they, 2-3 now? Yesterday, they went up against what I think might be the best defense in football in the Kansas City defense in Kansas City. So that's tough. That's just always going to be tough. The week before, they played Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And that was a game I thought they should have won. Mm-hmm. Just watching the game, I thought they played well. They moved the ball well, whatever. But they had silly mistakes.
Against Atlanta.
They had silly mistakes. They kind of gave that game away. The game against Philly, that was just atrocious.
Yeah, that was awful.
So they're definitely not the team offensively that we saw in the first 2 weeks. Like, you're not recreating that. They're not getting to that level again. But I think they're more like the team we saw against Atlanta. I don't think they're the Eagles, that game against the Eagles. I don't think they're that anemic on the offensive end. And last night, it's hard to judge them because, like I said, they were going up against one of, if not the best defense in the game on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're closer to the team we saw against Atlanta. It's just a good team. It's a good team. And, you know, if the matchups are right, like Jesse said, if the running game is going, maybe that could open up some things. But I don't think they're a team that can win that NFC South. And they're a fringe wild card team, I think.
220 total yards yesterday.
Mm.
That's more about Kansas City?
Absolutely. That defense is a true Spagnola. I've seen it. Seen it firsthand, man. And in that Super Bowl and that run up to the Super Bowl, he had those guys locked in and they brought everybody back. They're young, they're fast, they're physical. That defense is the truth. I'm trying to think if there's a better defense in football. And not one. There's Steelers, maybe. Maybe. But it's either them or Kansas City. Best defenses in the game.
386 the week prior in the Atlanta game that you referenced.
Mm.
219 the week prior in the Philly game that you referenced. You sure it was Kansas City?
Well, like I said, I don't think, once again, comparing them to the first 2 weeks, they're not that. They're not that at all, right? I don't see that.
I mean, those numbers got to be in the 400s, 500s, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I do think they're closer to that Atlanta game because they have some weapons. You know, they have weapons, and, you know, if they can get in a flow offensively with the play calling and stuff like that, they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're cool, but the Philly game, I have no answer for. That's just kind of an anomaly.
Yeah.
And then Kansas City, I credit Kansas City with that.
Okay.
I think they're just the Saints are just a okay offensive team.
Certainly interesting to be having conversations about the Kansas City Chiefs and referring to them as the best defense in football. Mm-hmm. When you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes on your team, when you have an offensive player mm-hmm. like that on your team, the offense is going to get talked about to death.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is going to get talked about to death. But when you dive into this team, and it shouldn't be surprising that Kareem Hunt is making an immediate impact on this squad the way that he is. But their defense might be what separates them from years past. You know, we've talked about weapons on the offensive end. We've talked about changes that they've made on the offensive end, guys that they've tried to replace this guy with, guys that they've tried to replace that guy with, and their defense doing what they do. Like, we keep looking for, you know, we talk about, the Kansas City Chiefs, and even Patrick Mahomes said this last week. You know, I think, paraphrasing a little bit, I think, of what Mahomes said, like, it's great to be 4-0 or something like that when you're not playing your best football.
Mm.
Now they've moved to 5-0. You talk about playing their best football. They might just be talking about playing their best football on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
Because so far this season, their defense appears to be something on the higher end.
Yeah, defense locked in. Defense locked in. Offensively, they're trying to find some stuff. They're trying to work through injuries and all that stuff. But defensively, they're in mid-season form. They're in mid-season form. And like I said, it was a group of guys on that defense that – played together last year and grew together last year, and Spagnuolo got pretty much everybody to, you know, come back on that defense,
mm-hmm.
and they just picked up where they left off. That's what they did. So if you're going to beat Kansas City, you're going to have to figure out a way to get that defense on their heels a little bit and make them pay for some of the aggressiveness that they tend to play with. And if you can't do that, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough trying to stop that play against that defense and shut down Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough. That's why they're number one team in both our power rankings right now.
Yeah, and that's not going to change this week, spoiler alert, but there are two undefeated teams in the NFL, 5-0. Can either of these teams stake claim as the best in the NFL?
I'm trying to think of if the Vikings can or not.
So Chiefs can.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like the Vikings can too.
Yeah.
I mean, the hallmark of both squads is their defense, right?
Right. They can.
Slightly different at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm down on playing well.
Well, and you know, I was thinking about that a lot. Like, people say, man, you know, they're going to fall back with Sam Darnold and all this other stuff. It's Sam Darnold. hey, man, I'm not going to judge that man on his past with two sorry-ass franchises. Mm-hmm. You know, he's with a good team right now with a good coach, and I'm going to treat him as such. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna look at him as Sam Darnold, the failure, and they're gonna fall back because of that. This man's playing good. He's got a big, good feel of what's going on. That's how I'm gonna choose to look at him. You know what I mean? So, I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but this year he's playing really good. He's playing at a high level, and I expect that to continue until I see something different.
Yeah, you can't say it's about winning games and discredit a guy who's done nothing but win games so far this year. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes in conversations about him, I heard one. I'm sure it was Sunday morning with Teddy Bruschi. Mm. I felt like Teddy Bruschi was holding all of Darnold's past failures against him in his current situation, talking about. You know, at some point, he's going to be Sam Darnold.
Yeah, see, I hate when people.
So what does that even mean?
Yeah. I hate when people do that. I hate when, you know, and I like Bruschi. It's not a knock on him, but I hear that.
No, rhetoric. I just don't think it's fair.
Yeah, I hear that rhetoric a lot with Sam Darnold, and you're right. It's not fair. It's not fair. And no, I'm choosing to look at him as the quarterback he's played. He's been this season with these coaches. And these group of players around him, and I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, he was in New York seeing Ghost, so that guy's going to show up again. Yeah, like, that's not fair.
Yeah, that's not fair at all. That's not fair at all. He's done his job. That game in London wasn't pretty, but London games are a lot like Thursday games, as we'll be very familiar with here. As it's the Seahawks and the 49ers this week, it really doesn't matter. What the team looks like on Thursday. It really doesn't matter what the team looks like on, in a London game. Just,
you know, the vibes.
Get a win.
JWTDG. JWTDG.
Just win the damn game. You have that written somewhere in front of you. I know you do.
JWTDG.
Ridiculous.
That's all you do when you go to London or Germany or wherever else they're going this year. They're going to three different countries, aren't they?
Well, the 49ers are?
No,
they NFL. Just the NFL.
They went to Brazil. They're going to London. I think they're going back to Germany. I think maybe one other too.
Well, where was the Jets Vikings? That was London, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they got two out the way. I think they got two other countries they're going to. And then I saw something yesterday where they're exploring other countries for the future. They're talking about France, they're talking about Australia.
All right. I mean, cool, I guess. But I guess that London loss has more value than I'm giving it credit for, because it was ultimately what got Robert Saleh fired. loses to a 5-0 team, or a now 5-0 team, and say, you know, this guy stinks. Mm. And they got rid of their coach.
You know,
kept their quarterback, who threw 54 times and threw three interceptions, and kept their running backs, who couldn't run the ball to save their life. But hey! Mm. Do what you got to do, Woody.
Well, you got to get rid of the coach. It's easier to get rid of the coach as opposed to.
It's the easiest thing in the world to do.
Five people.
It's the easiest thing in the world to do.
Five players. And.
It's so funny. You and Jesse, y'all want to run Bob Saleh out of here. You want to run Mike McDaniels out of here. But you wanted to keep.
He wants to run Mike McDaniels out of here.
No, I think you do.
Whoa. I don't want to run Mike McDaniels out of here. Sometimes he stinks, and I can let him know that. We don't want to fire him yet.
Have you or have you not said Mike McDaniels is a suspect?
Yeah, you could say that, not want to fire the guy.
You don't want to fire Mike McDaniels?
No, he needs to work through his issues.
I agree with Jesse.
I don't want to fire him either. I'd say he looked funny in the light.
As far as I'm concerned, Dolphins only had a game out of first place in the AFC East. We're back.
It's true. We're back.
Well.
Jets just fired their coach. Everything's coming up Dolphins today.
A grueling 15-10 victory for Jesse's.
That was a tough watch.
But what would you thought? You said we wanna run these guys out. But
you love Luke Walton. That's what I was getting at.
Well, no. I do like Luke Walton. That doesn't mean he should have kept his job. I like him. Seems like a good guy, and he was dealt the wrong deal a little bit, but that doesn't mean he should still be the Kings coach.
could be Luke Walton wasn't the best coach, but he was also working with about 7 G leaguers on his roster.
He's working with guys who can't even make the G League.
Yeah. Who is still in the league? It was Fox. It's Fox, Buddy.
Harrison.
He
coached Harrison.
Is that?
Well, Marvin is in the league. Barely. Well, he is.
He is. Contractually. But
is it just those three that Luke is working with?
Well, Tristan has a job forever in Cleveland.
Oh, man. Or Luke.
No,
Bogey, and they didn't resign him. They didn't bring him back.
Which was the right call.
Rashawn Holmes. He played with Rashawn Holmes.
I don't even know what team Rashawn is on.
Is he on Dallas still?
I don't think so. No, I think he was traded. I think he's on Washington.
Yeah, Washington, I think.
Hey, some of y'all might need to apologize.
I don't know, Casey. It's a 50-win team if you ask me.
I think some of y'all
I'm not apologizing to Luke.
Half the damn roster ain't in the league no more. It's only been 3 years. It's not like it's 10 years ago. It's only been 3 years.
Luke was at
half
practice.
The damn roster's out the league.
Luke was at practice begging for his life for these guys to play some defense.
3 seconds.
Poor Luke. He had Lil Dog. He had Hassan Whiteside. He had Daquan Jeffries. Daquan's in the league.
Are you sure?
Bro, yeah, Daquan is in the league to get traded.
He's in the league. He had Daquan. Man, am I missing anybody? Was Willie still here? I don't know if Willie was still here.
Willie was still here for Luke. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Poor Luke.
The Drake May era has begun. This is a wild set of tweets.
Drake May era.
No, it's the Ian Rappaport wrote, the Patriots have waited until Drake May is ready. It's now go time. The number 3 overall pick will be behind center on Sunday.
It's now go
time. So Drake May wasn't
like this guy's a Power Ranger.
It's now go time. Just say he's starting.
So Drake May wasn't ready 4 weeks ago, but now it's go time, baby.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel bad also for Jacoby Brissett because Jacoby was getting beat up. He's getting beat up out
there.
Yeah,
that's the part I'm curious about.
Yeah.
So Drake May ain't going to get his ass whooped, huh?
Mm. He's not going to get roughed up? I don't know what Drake May is going to do that Jacoby Brissett can't right now. And that's not even because Drake May's ability, but offensive line can't block. And DeMario Douglas is your number one receiver.
Is starting him against Houston the wisest move?
If you're going to do it, you probably should have started him against Miami, if we're keeping it real.
Yeah, at home against a Miami team that's banged up. Hmm. Yeah, Texans, maybe not. I mean,
sorry, Drake, man.
So, like, here's the – we've talked about this all year, you know, with young quarterback. I don't know why you're playing him at all this year. You're not any good. You don't have a good team. Why are you playing him at all? There's really no.
I don't know.
Like maybe the last, you know, quarter of the last 4 games of the season. Maybe if you say, hey, we want to get him some reps,
live
reps,
sure.
But I don't know why you're playing him at all this year. Makes no sense. I don't believe in that situation he can get any better by playing.
No, not the way that Jacoby Brissett gets hit and chased around. And we talked about that split-second difference and how that might be the one thing that Jacoby Brissett has that Drake May doesn't. Mm-hmm. But this is tough.
Yeah.
This is tough. My man's in for a I don't know. Maybe he's been watching. Maybe he is ready. That split-second difference has been made up. I can't imagine, but goodness.
Well, when we saw him 2 weeks ago, it didn't look like it.
No.
We saw him in live action like 2 weeks ago, and it's like, oh, yeah, he looked like a rookie that things are moving pretty fast. I don't know. Wish him the best, but Buddha's in the chat. He's our Patriots fan. This your team, man. He says in the Matthew Matcher Chatty House, he says, Drake can run, JB can't.
Oh, good, because he's going to be running. My man gonna be out there running for his life.
That's the X factor right there. That's kind of tough.
My man gonna be out there running for his life.
And JK in the chat says Caleb Williams didn't look ready till recently. Not that Drake is Caleb. Caleb also has a much better team around him.
Yeah, Caleb doesn't. It's like I care less about the quarterback and quarterback mechanics and more about the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like we saw, Jacoby was getting roughed up. Yeah.
He's going to have nothing to work with.
Yeah, that's the thing. No receivers, no running back, no offensive line. There is nothing there. The cupboard is bare in New England.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe you see some in practice that we don't, though. So
maybe. Or maybe he's just tired of watching Jacoby Brissett.
Trying to save his brother.
Oh. Well, it's good you're finally trying to save one rather than fire one. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Take advantage of all the wonderful things that Greg has put together for us here and the people who listen to the show. You can get a free nutritionist consultation. You can even use the free macro calculator to help lay out your training, help lay out better health, help lay out better fitness. Whatever you're looking for, trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320 has it, including a direct link to maptrition.com. That'll help you get your BCAAs, your strength enhancers, your fat burners, your cravings crushers, all of that good stuff. Again, head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. We're talking football. We'll stick with football, and we'll talk about the issues that the 49ers have.
Oh, boy.
We'll do that. We'll do that when KC return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Shout out to everybody who pulled up to, I'll be able to get this sentence out. Shout out to everybody who pulled up to Khalid at Thunder Valley.
Yeah, good show, man. Good show.
It was a lot of fun.
I was hungry at one point. Got in there a little later. I was a little hungry. I had some beignets. I was like, man, you know, let me eat these beignets real quick.
Is that what you were eating?
Yeah, that's funny. They were good, too.
My man was, I feel like you had brought food up pretty early. We were waiting. We had a pretty minimal roll on Saturday night where we just kind of welcomed everybody into the we welcomed everybody to the venue, no pun intended. And then went out to the 102.5 banner, did some stuff out there with our guy Leezy. And then I went to watch a very little bit of the show before heading back to the house and getting ready for the Disneyland trip. So I went and watched, it's like, man, it might have been two songs or three songs. Mm. And excused myself and made my way out. And there's there's KC sitting at the high top table just trying to get – my man just wanted to eat.
I was hungry, man. I was like, he's not going to perform talk for a while, so I can go in here and give me some beignets real quick. I thought I was going to get a hot dog. They didn't have one in there, so I was like, I'll take a beignet. It's all good.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I kind of chuckled as I made my way out. Said,
there go D-Lo.
My boy just trying to have a peaceful dinner. And it turned out it was a beignet.
Literally was the only one in the area. That was just me by myself.
There was nobody else there. Absolute comedy. Absolute comedy. But I'm with it. I'm with it. And you were certainly in a better mood. Okay. Outside of, and if you covered this yesterday, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do the why you were sleeping gimmick, but how was outside of the blown fourth quarter lead, another blown fourth quarter lead.
The another wasn't really necessary. We could have just left.
It does factor into how we discuss this football team. How was the experience at the how was the game with you and your mom?
Man, it was a blast, man. It was a good time.
Did you see Tom?
Who's Tom?
Wasn't Tom
Brady? Yeah. No, I didn't see Tom. Well, I pointed out where Tom Brady is.
Oh, okay.
I was like, you see that?
Surprised your mom didn't
right
make
there.
Her way up there. Like, that's something she would do.
But no, we had a blast, man. It started on Sunday. We took the train, took the Capitol Corridor down to Levi's, which is a great way to go to these games. A lot of people, I mean, this isn't a secret. I'm sure it's common knowledge. A lot of people from Sacramento go down there. Like, they filled at least two trains full of San Francisco 49er fans. I was talking to somebody else. They got like three or four buses that come up from Sacramento, not to mention the people that just drive up there. A lot of people from Sacramento come up to those 49er games. But, man, it was a good time getting on there. I kind of got the times mixed up with when we had to be there. So we end up rushing, and she was just, you know, flustered and paranoid and was running through the train and fast walking through the train station. I said, mm-hmm. We're here now. It's fine. Like, you're good. But that was good. Then we get there, and I like Levi's. I think Levi's is a cool stadium. I think it's a cool atmosphere around there with the tailgate and stuff. It was really, really hot. When people complain about the heat at Levi's, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit. Yes, all right, it's hot, but it's not that big of a deal. And to my defense, when I do that, they're talking about it in September, and it's like a high of 88. And they're like, oh, my gosh, the sunside, it's so hot. Like, it's warm. I get it. It's not like you're in the shade, but gut it out. Well, Sunday was different. Sunday was really hot. It was 98, 99 degrees, I think, something like that. And being in that on the sun side on that type of day, that is a little tough. There was a lot of people who just went and watched the game in the concourse. Like, a lot of
people. Oh, I bet.
Like, TVs are up. They're, you know, they're pretty much synced up with real time, even though it's like the broadcast.
Sure.
And, came around maybe 5 minutes ago in the first half, a lot of people just went to the concourse and was watching. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I understand it.
They kept pointing out the temperature on the field. I swear they said it's 100 degrees on the field right now.
Man, well, and then me and Jesse were trying to figure this out. When people do temperatures, they do it in the shade, right? Like the official weather center, they do like the temperature. If right now on my phone, it'll say it's 95 degrees outside. That temperature is taken in the shade.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's taken in the shade.
I think
when you're in the sun, it's different. It's like 10, 12 degrees more.
I think the temperature that we get on broadcast is the actual field. Mm. Like, and I'm not relating that to what pops up on our phone. I think they're referring to the, because you know that field has those black.
Right.
So it's hotter.
Right.
And so I assume that's what they're.
Drew Down said he never heard anybody say that, but that's. Drew Down, that's literally, like, maybe it's not true, but that's literally the difference in temperature, right? Like, because if they're telling you, oh, it's a 95-degree day, but on the field, it's 110, that's literally the difference, right? Like, they're not just suspending the thing in the air. Like, there's...
No, I think it's hotter on the field because of the field.
Well, because of the field, for sure, and I think because of the sun. I think.
What?
So that's what I'm saying is when you take a temperature, it's in the you take it in the shade. Like, think about your car.
Okay.
Your car, if your car is sitting outside, the temperature, they're going to tell you it's 105 degrees. It's not really 105 degrees. It's 98 degrees outside. But your car is sitting in the sun, so it's giving you that temperature.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's why I think when you get like official temperatures, I think they're taking it in the shade, or it's covered in some respect. Like, they don't have to be sitting under a tree, but they're not getting the sun when they give you that temperature, I think. Either way, it was really hot on Sunday.
Yeah,
it was really, really hot on Sunday.
There are a few moments in this show that leave me speechless, but this is probably one of them. So I'm just going to.
It was
instead
really, really
of argue,
hot.
I'm just gonna say okay.
And on that sun side, it was super hot. So it was a good time though, man. And like you said, it was all good until the fourth quarter.
Mm.
It was all good until the fourth quarter. It they had forced a punt, got the ball back. They were up 23-10. Brock throws the interception. And the Cardinals get a field goal, like three and out field goal or something like that. And I looked, and it was probably like midway through the third quarter. I'm not for sure. And I looked, and I was like, man, and it's 23-13, man. Like, feels like they've been in control of this game. It's a 10-point game. It's a 10-point game. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, they need a touchdown. Like, they need a touchdown now.
Yeah.
And they never got it. And when the Cardinals scored to cut the lead to two or whatever mm-hmm. they did, I thought they could come down and get a touchdown. And Jordan Mason fumbled. I said, they're going to lose this game.
Yeah.
Like, this is over.
Yeah.
And because I didn't think they could get a stop. And And they definitely couldn't stop the Cardinals from getting in the field goal range. Like, whether they stopped them from getting a touchdown, yeah, sure, maybe. But I was like, they can't stop them from getting 50 yards that they need to get a touch or get a field goal. Sure enough, they didn't.
I think part of the the 49ers have red zone issues. Mm. No?
Yeah.
That's a season-long problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have not punched the ball into the end zone at the rate in which they did really since Brock Purdy has become the quarterback, and they're scoring, you know, 30-some-odd points per game, 35 or whatever it is. They're scoring a lot of points per game. And there was a vibe just paying attention to that game. Like, they're not punching the ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, they keep walking away with three over and over and over and over again. They're not taking the opportunities they have to put this team away. And then there was also, you had 35 pass attempts from Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no problem with Brock Purdy throwing the ball ever. But, like, Jordan Mason had 14 run attempts. And instead of making, like, a grand statement, I'll ask, is play calling an issue? Try that again. Was play calling an issue in this game?
Because
Jordan didn't have a bad game.
Right.
In my estimation.
No, I don't think he did.
I mean, outside.
A lot of people were talking about Brock Purdy had a bad game. I didn't think he had a bad game. I didn't think he was, like, great. Like, the turnovers.
I didn't think he was very good at all. He's normally not that inefficient.
Yeah, I didn't think he had a bad game. I thought he was just kind of there. The two interceptions were killer. He made in between the 20s, he was making good passes, moving the sticks. He made some tough passes or whatever the case may be. I thought he was just kind of whatever. But a lot of people were like, he was bad. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I saw it that way. But the play calling. So this is the thing. My first thought is yes. Like, yeah, the play calling's got to be a little better, especially in the red zone. But this is what I was talking about yesterday when, you know, everybody was just like, oh, Kyle, he can't get it done. And, you know, this is what he does. He blows
TC
the lead.
Called yesterday?
He didn't call me. I think TC knew. He called the insider. He didn't call me. And it just like, oh, yeah, they can't get it done. And, you know, Kyle, da-da-da-da. Kyle, the red zone issues is a Kyle Shanahan issue with the play calling on the surface. Right, but there was a play specifically in the first quarter where they did a tunnel screen to Debo, and like I said, when you go watch the film, and you know, I'm not going to sit up here and say I'm watching all 22s, but I'm watching people who are watching all 22s and explaining stuff. And there was a tunnel screen to Debo, which, if you look at it, it's the perfect play call against that defense. It's a perfect play call. Blockers didn't do their job. If the blockers do their job, the offensive line specifically does their job on that tunnel screen, Debo's walking in to the into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the play, and there's multiple offensive linemen who get to block on nobody. So now you look at that and you say, okay, the Kyle's play call in the red zone is terrible because the play didn't work. Well, no, not really. Like, that was the right call.
Mm-hmm.
Execution wasn't there. Then you have other times where you see things where in the red zone, nobody's getting open, right? And I look at that and I say, all right, maybe Kyle should have a different play call in that situation, because the play call that you're doing, it's not, these guys aren't able to get open from it. Run some crossers, run some, you know, some drag routes or something like that to help these guys get off, and run them through traffic to help these guys get open if they can't get on open on their own. That could be on Kyle. A couple times I was watching the game from the seats, and I look over there and it looks like Brandon Ayuk is out wide one on one with the DB. Then they run the little motion thing to see if it's really a man or a zone, who follows you, who doesn't. Guy runs motion. He says, oh, it is, man. There's no safety help over the top. How many times do we see a little fade route right there or a back shoulder or something like that? run that. You know, that's what I would say. But the whole point of it is you don't necessarily always know if it's play calling or it's execution. I think it's a combination of both. It's looked at as just play calling. Some of the things that I was able to see, execution has to be better too, because the right plays are being called sometimes and they're not executed.
So who's that on then?
That's on the players. That's not like, we'll just, I mean, we won't go play for play, but specifically the tunnel screen play, like that's on the offensive line.
Okay, for sure. The screen play is one of the more, it's not a difficult play to execute, but they're like everything has to work in sync for those plays to work. No?
Like not
one guy's off, you could blow the whole play up.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That could happen. But like, that's why I say, like, so in that situation, the play call is the right call.
I got you.
Like, I'm looking at it right now. One of the guys that I think is Aaron Banks just runs past the defender. You put a hat on him, Debo maybe can take a different cut, or he's going straight in on the backside. There's some guys over there that didn't do anything, receivers and offensive linemen, who just kind of had people out there and allowed them to be there to make that tackle. So there's that aspect. And then the other aspect is, I say this all the time, sometimes the defense has it schemed up well. And the play call that you think is a good play call or is a winning play call, it's they got the right defense for it. And that's something that happens as well. I think Kyle needs to be a little bit more creative in the red zone, and I think those guys need to execute a little bit more in the red zone as well.